meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. All right there, Drewski.
There we go.
What's going on?
Not much. Something happened with you?
Yeah, just went into work today, you know.
Yeah.
Putzed around.
The Crank Anchors or the Jimmy Show?
I'm going into the Jimmy Show now.
So is Crank Anchors done
for the season? No, Crank Anchors is up and running and in another on another lot.
I want to go to Hawaii! Yay! I want to go to Hawaii!
Yeah, and Crank Anchors is going to premiere, I think, March 3rd. Mm-hmm. And they got like 22 episodes. And it's going to be 20 to 25% better than the last one. And the last one was fine, mind you, but this will be better.
I want to see my puppet.
Drew did some funny calls. I was just looking at the schedule up on the board, you know, the big... All the shows plotted out up in the office.
When you're going to shoot the puppet thing?
Drew, no, not when we're going to shoot it, when it's going to air. Drew's in like show number 8, and then again, Drew's in show number like, I don't know, 14 or 15. Drew is all over the Crank Yankers.
Good times.
Yeah, looking good, buddy.
In the hizzy.
For shizzy. All righty, so let's get to the phones. And
we saw Jimmy on TRL tonight.
I saw Jimmy on TRL.
He looked dazed. They've been really working him, huh? I mean, you couldn't tell if you didn't know Jimmy, but I could tell he'd been like,
oh, yeah.
They've been working
I don't know Jimmy, and I could tell.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Jimmy, and I could tell. Yeah. No, poor Jimmy. Jimmy, you got to be careful what you ask for out there, kiddies, because Jimmy did a test show Friday night, was there all Friday, then did a test show Saturday, was at the studio all day Saturday. And when I say all day, I mean into the night.
Way into the night, yeah.
Midnight kind of thing. And then caught a flight out Sunday morning, went to New York. I think did Stern Monday morning.
Letterman.
And then like Regis and Kathy Lee or something. And then Letterman. And then TRL. And then what the hell else? Good Morning. It just kept going.
Yeah.
Just kept going. It's crazy when you look at that guy's itinerary. Oh, man.
Bizzle for chisel, dizzle.
Drew, what's wrong with me? I look at that itinerary, and I'm like, oh.
Oh, no, you've experienced dread, don't you?
I do, if it's not, but not if it's not me. I mean, you know.
Even looking at somebody else doing it, you get dread.
Yeah, but here's how you know I'm not going to be that successful in my life. I look at Jimmy's itinerary for New York, and then what he's got to do, he comes back, he's got more press, he's gonna, like, meet the press tomorrow, and then more test shows, and Super Bowl this, and NFL that. I look at his schedule for, like, the next week, and I go, oh, sucker.
Yeah.
Sucker. Oh, my God. Oh, you're so screwed, dude. But it's the same way my family would look at people with jobs. Sucker. Sucker. Amanda?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
You got a job?
I'm blind. It's hell to get a job.
Oh, really?
Like, you have to you have to find the funding, the systems who fund for your equipment, and they're bitches. So it sucks.
Wow, Amanda said blind. I thought it was visually challenged or
visually impaired.
I kind of put it forthright. I'm not all, you know, I don't get offended.
You're calling from Wyoming. Where are you?
Casper.
She doesn't know, Drew. She's blind.
Oh, that's right.
She's no idea. She has to take everyone's word for where she is. She could be on.
She could be in
Kentucky.
Somewhere.
And by the way, maybe you're like some crap hole like Riverside, and your parents are just being kind. Oh, honey, we're in Wyoming.
Oh,
and
God, I'm not with my parents. My mother was abusive. They live in California.
Oh, it's like she Tommy going on.
Something like that, I guess.
How weird is it? I just spent 2 hours reading a book to my daughter about a blind kid and his dog.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think people think that blind people have sex with their dogs because, like,
no, we don't. No.
In California, and they were freaks.
I don't think that, sweetie. I know it.
You know, I wouldn't disagree.
Well, now wait a minute. Now hold on a second.
Female comedian in the making.
I have many questions for you.
Okay.
One is, like I said, Drew, I would tell my kid I was living in Wyoming, and when they're like, we'd be in Riverside, and they'd be standing by the window. I'd go, you're looking at miles of rolling green prairie and the Grand Tetons behind. They'd be staring at a burnt out Winnebago with like a hobo trying to have sex with a gas orifice.
How would you explain the smell of crack speed? Speed Labs.
I'd say a wild buffalo farted. All right, wait a minute. Where was she?
Six.
Oh yeah. But how? Okay, so you blind to the point where you do not see light.
I can tell if it's light or dark, and I can see shadows, kind of.
You can see shadows. Okay, and so no driving, no reading, nothing like that.
I wish I could drive a bumper car. That's about it.
Well, chicks shouldn't drive anyway. And now,
who are you living with now?
I'm living with my grandmother.
Okay, and when did this? Was this since birth?
Yeah. Since birth. I'm pretty much, you know, I don't care. I don't think I want to see because then I have to read, learn to read and all
that. Let me tell you something. You know what?
Yeah, I had to think of the excuse you could have. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
I know, but don't you have to learn Braille?
Well, yeah, I learned that when I was like 4 or 5.
Yeah. All right. So, your mom was abusive.
Yeah.
And your dad was where?
My dad was a little wuss. He's a little pussy. He tolerates my mom, and she doesn't have a job, and she tells him how to spend his hard-earned money when she just sits on her fat ass all day.
They're pussies.
Okay, so you hate your mom, and now you're living with your grandparents or grandma?
Yeah, my grandma.
Dad's parents?
My dad's mother.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's the mother of the puss?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And your mother, who is far from a puss.
You're in Wyoming.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, she made him into a puss.
Yeah.
She broke him.
She has him trained.
Then he
really
married
bad.
Another ball buster.
Oh, really, that's true. Yeah. That's what happened to Drew. And then you're over there in Wyoming, and now you're done with school. Can you go to school?
I'm going to school, yeah. I'm graduating hopefully this year if I don't screw up anymore.
Well, you know, let me tell you something about... Being blind.
You're going to tell her to pick up a craft?
No, we do. Yeah, you got to start stringing beads. That's your living. That's where the money is, bead stringing. No,
actually,
no.
The money is in SSI.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, Drew and I oftentimes say that we can read people better from doing this show.
Just but the
because
voices.
Because it's easier.
Yeah.
It's easier to tell what's going on via the voice than it is. The visual part is a distraction when you're trying to figure something out.
Yeah, I have a problem with visual cues. I really do. I don't even flip people off right. I do it wrong, and I've never figured it out, so yeah. I just don't do it.
Well,
I mean, I do it, but it looks stupid.
We don't mean explicit cues like that. We mean just the subtle sort of emotional
circumstances. Yeah, the whole faltering and stuff. I think it's easy to read people's voice by their voice.
Yeah.
Some people, it's really hard to tell. And
but let me.
Like,
you can probably tell when people are lying better than a person that had their eyesight, for instance.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
they falter a little bit.
You have any idea what Drew looks like?
No. He sounds younger than he probably is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just cool. I think you're just funny.
You're
like the male version of me.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
So,
all right, baby. And
not quite.
You're going out on dates and things?
Well, yes. I have a boyfriend of almost 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
I love him to death.
He's 6'4". He has long, flowing blonde hair and rippling biceps.
Don't know how tall he is?
He won't let him touch.
He is ugly, though. He has glasses and braces, so we always joke about, I'm going with him because I can't see how he looks, and he's going with me because he can't get anyone else.
The way she sees and the way he looks, it's a perfect match.
Yeah, but Amanda...
Yes.
Does it bother you that he might not be an attractive person even though you can't see him?
I don't care. It's all about the inside. And he's a little bit of a nerd on the inside. He gets A's and B's, but he's really intellectually interesting.
All right. Now, you had a question about him.
Yeah. In the past, I've had problems with blowjobs. My ex-boyfriend was really forceful with me. I have a small mouth. I have such a small mouth that when I was going to get braces when I was little, they told me they'd have to pull out like half my teeth. So needless to say, I didn't get braces.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I'm going to go and give him a blowjob, and I'm thinking, oh, I'll just gag for a minute and tolerate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I threw up. So
on him?
Yes. And I don't know what to do about how I can do blowjobs, because I want to make him happy, you know, because he doesn't ask for very much.
You threw up on him?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I did.
Doesn't that acid burn your penis?
He calls it the throw-up stick now.
He's so old. He's old-fashioned, this kid. What a throwback.
Oh, yeah. Turn of the century.
Yeah, yeah.
Back when the throw-up stick was...
Throw-up stick. Boy. Hey, Amanda, here's what I mean, Drew.
What?
Could Amanda work on her gag reflex with a carrot?
Well, do you gag when you brush your teeth?
No, because my toothbrush fits in my mouth. But if when you
it's not about the size. No, you know what? Brush the back of your tongue and see if you gag.
There you go.
I don't even.
That's what this is.
I tried bulimic for a day, and that sucked.
No, Amanda, this is not about the size of your mouth. This is about the fact that your gag reflex triggers with certain stimulation, and you have to figure that out.
Yeah.
You may not be able to put anything in your mouth very far, bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
Yeah. I think we'd all be better off blind. I really do.
No.
I'd get more done. I'd think deeper thoughts.
Yeah.
I'd be more creative. I wouldn't just be I wouldn't be watching TiVo and playing with cars all
the
time.
You would just listen to talk radio all the time.
And I'd think really, really profound thoughts. Cherie?
Yes.
You're 25?
I am.
What's up?
My husband and I have been trying to make a baby for the last 11 months, 10, 11 months. And I'm ovulating, and I just kind of want to know what I can do about it.
How do you know you're ovulating?
Ovulation kits.
So you've been able to document ovulation?
Yes, for the last couple of months.
How do you document it? I mean, no, it's temperature, but...
I haven't done that. I don't feel like all that trouble, I guess. And if it's going to take us a couple more months, I will get...
What kit are you using? What kind of a...
From Walgreens.
It's something you pee? What are you testing?
Like a mid-cycle, you just pee on a stick.
Yeah.
And it'll let you know when you're off ovulating.
Okay.
Right. And so we'll have sex every other day after I know I'm ovulating.
Every other day?
Uh-huh. And the reason I'm calling is because...
Wait a minute. Why every day? Why every other day?
Because the doctor had told me for, low sperm counts.
Oh, give him a day to save it up?
Mm-hmm.
Is that true, Drew?
The pregnancy, you have basically 3 days after you ovulate.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Okay.
So you want to get it in there. Usually, it occurs within 24 hours of the actual ovulation. The pregnancies occur on average.
Yeah.
I mean, you have 3 days that sperm will stay up there.
Uh-huh.
But you have 24 hours, and you really got to get on it.
So when I get a positive ovulation...
The clock ticks. Consider it 24 hours, really, right then.
That we should do it every day.
But being that as it may, you need to get an evaluation to see, make sure there's no cervical problems, make sure the tubes are open. There's so many different,
how do you know he has a low sperm count?
We don't. That's what the doctors recommended was just in case.
No, don't assume he has low sperm.
Yeah, that's what I said. And they won't even see us, until we've been trying a year.
All right, well, don't assume he has low sperm count.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why they would assume he did.
I don't know. They say that they just recommend every other day when you know you're ovulating, so you can get the sperm count.
Tell him Dr. Drew called him a quack he need to nail you every day and it needed to be in a reverse cowgirl.
Okay. I'm just in remission right now. I have a bladder disease, and I'm just...
What's your bladder disease?
It's called IC. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Interstitial cystitis?
Yes.
That's
I have the inner stem.
The what?
I have the inner stem. It's a stimulator that is placed in your lower back.
Right.
And that's turned off.
Were you sexually abused growing up?
No.
Sure?
Yes.
Anything like that?
Do I have a child voice?
No, it's just that pelvic pain and to the point of going to get a spinal stimulator and all this kind of stuff.
That's just for the bladder disease. It's hereditary. They say it's not, but every woman in my family has it.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Granddad got to all of them.
Just the females. The females have it. And so it's the perfect time to get pregnant while I'm healthy.
All right. Well, just let him have sex every day and you keep that vibrator on you while he's doing you.
Yeah.
Got to get a little residual effect there. What is this thing they put on their back?
I think she's talking about something to decrease the irritation of the nerve roots and the nerve stimulation to that area.
Mm-hmm. 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 The president of ABC called today, told me I need to get my teeth whitened.
It takes the president of the company to get you to do something like that.
He called his dentist. You know what? And he was like really uncomfortable for him. And
yeah, because he shouldn't be bothering with that kind
of
thing.
No, and I know. I thought, I know. There's all these things I was going to do if I ever got on TV, and I haven't done any of them. But, I mean, I was going to lose 5 pounds and 10 pounds and get my teeth white and pluck my ear hair and all this stuff I was going to do, and I never ended up doing it. But but I'm the same. He was really – actually, he called the executive producer of Jimmy's show, Daniel, and he said, you know, Adam needs to, you know, we got to, which I took as a good sign, really. He cares, you know. But I didn't care. Like, I never get offended by that kind of stuff. I'm always like, yeah, he's right. Mm-hmm. I do. Mm-hmm. I just do
what, else did he want?
That was it.
Or is Adam gonna, Daniel going to give it to you in doses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wants a rib taken out. Wants me to shave my ass.
Lipo. You know what's strange, though, is people always say that your teeth are yellow, but they don't look yellow in person at all.
They're they could be whiter, and they might look more yellow on TV.
We're sitting here in a half dark room.
No, but I see Adam everywhere. His teeth
Thanks,
are
Anderson.
Yellow in person.
No, it's not. It's in person. I don't think it's a big distraction, but maybe on. You know what it is too. Uh huh. Thank you, Anderson. It's a good point. I need to get my teeth whitened for the same reason I need a publicist.
Mm.
Not because I need one, but to do battle with other people's publicists, those pussy vermin publicists.
Right. Everybody has white teeth.
If everything was just laid evenly, I would get booked on a show, but I can't get booked on a show because someone else is a publicist, and they're getting booked on the show, and their publicist is threatening the people that they can't have other clients, and now I got to get a publicist.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible. Horrible. So that's why you got to get an attorney. Because other people have attorneys, not because you need one.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get my teeth whitened because other people have gotten their teeth whitened. Mm-hmm. You turn on the TV, it's like aliens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like Cocoon.
Yeah, read it.
It's crazy. It's like light is coming from people's mouth. It's as if they'd chomped down on some sulfurous or something, like a bit of road flare or something. They open their mouth and it's like you have to avert your gaze.
Yeah.
And my teeth ain't white, but nobody made fun of me when I'm swinging a hammer. There are guys with big gaps in their teeth and big chunks of corn that had been there for a long time and stuff, but everyone on TV has their... Think about how white everyone's mouth is on TV.
Mm.
Now it looks like I've been chewing tobacco. I'm like Jed Clampett.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta get my teeth whitened. I should get my teeth whitened, and they should have publicists at the dentist that you can can talk to while you're getting your teeth whitened.
Good.
That's a good point. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
What is the whole whitening process? They do it all in one sitting?
There's this like laser thing. And let me say something about this too, dentist. Put something on the goddamn ceiling, would you? If you're gonna be lying on your back and staring at the ceiling for 4 hours. Because you do this process where you lay back there and the guy puts some junk on your teeth and then he hits you with a laser thing and you stare at the ceiling. And here's the best I've ever seen in a dentist office. It's usually just a sort of acoustic cork board up there.
Right.
You know, the drop ceiling or a T-bar ceiling, as we used to call it in the day. But the best I've ever seen is the bad miniature poster of the cat hanging off its paw saying, hang in there or something. But... after about an hour, 20 minutes of staring at the cat, and you've had an ass full of that. Someone's got to put a TV up there.
I sleep at the dentist. I sleep.
Yeah, but it's hard because you're in a certain degree of pain.
Ugh.
And people are telling you things, like, you know, turn this way, turn that way, lean up, and that kind of thing. Dentists need to put a flat screen on the ceiling. I'd be very happy with that. All right, Drew, you ready to go?
Yeah.
Don't get me going on with the dentist here.
Let's go in together. I'll get my teeth whitened, too.
Okay.
Right.
Daniel?
What's up?
Maybe I don't know if he's going to pay for it. Maybe he's going to pay for it.
Mm.
He's not going to pay for you, too.
No, twofer.
Not for you. Daniel, go ahead. You're 18.
Hey, what's up? I got a guy that used to be a friend of mine, and we kind of fell out a while back, but he's trying to make moves on my girlfriend now. And we were friends while my girl and I were dating, but we fell out, you know, during that period. But now I guess since... he's in school with her, and I'm not. I graduated last year, and this is her last year. So I guess either he feels desperate, like she's leaving, and he won't get to see her anymore, or he doesn't hold any loyalty to me anymore because we're not friends. But for whatever reason, he's...
Daniel, hold on a second. What percentage of that did you follow?
Wait, what's up?
About 15? 20?
I don't know. Daniel, you two aren't friends anymore.
You could say this in a sentence.
And you two aren't boyfriend-girlfriend anymore.
Is that right?
No, she and I are going out, but the guy that I'm not friends with is putting moves on her.
Why are you not his friend?
You two are boyfriend and girlfriend, you and this girl?
Yeah, there's a girl and I that are, you know, dating. But
I keep saying boyfriend and girlfriend.
He
keeps
that.
Saying dating and going out.
Yeah,
and hanging
is she dating?
Yeah. Yes, boyfriend, girlfriend. Yes.
Would she say that's my boyfriend? She would say Daniel's my boyfriend.
Yes.
And do you live in the same city, or is she away at school?
No, we lived in the same city.
You do.
Yeah.
And how often do you see each other?
Usually every day.
Every day.
Every other.
And why is this guy not your friend anymore?
Close. We just had disagreements between ourselves.
Okay, well, you can go ahead and give us more detail. What happened?
I don't know. We were, like, in a band together for a while, and he didn't like the direction I was trying to take it, and he looked at it as his band, so...
All right, so you had a major falling out. He has a score to settle with you.
I don't know if he really has a score. He's always kind of had a crush on her, and he's always kind of had a thing... for me, in the sense that he just doesn't like the way I am. He feels
no,
I'm...
No, he's mad at you. He's got a crush on her, and he's acting upon it. He's not your friend.
Well, wait a second. Now, have you had sex with this girl?
Yeah.
When was the last time?
Yesterday, I guess.
Yeah, buddy. Smooth. And so she's telling you that he's making these advances.
Yeah. I mean,
now why?
Why would she be doing that?
Yeah. Why? You know. I mean, shouldn't she be saying to him, "Hey, listen, I got a boyfriend now. Back off," and then just sort of avoiding him?
She can't really avoid him because they kind of have the same friend.
Yeah, but Daniel, why is she involving you in this? Why doesn't she just tell him to back off and leave it at that? Why does she have to bring it back to you and create a little chaos here?
Well, she has told him to back off and that, you know, she's taken and she's very happy with the guy that she's with. But
Daniel? Daniel.
He just keeps going and she just keeps seeing him in these various places?
Well, it's a small school. I mean, she can't avoid him.
She can? What kind of school is it? Is it high school?
High school, yeah.
How many students are there?
I don't know, 1,500 or so.
Seems like she wouldn't have to eat lunch with him or anything. She could run into him.
Right, but I mean,
why does she have to?
She obviously doesn't want to abandon her friends just to stay away from some guy. Who wants
all right,
to run
alone. Okay.
Why does she have to involve you though?
Well, actually, it wasn't her that told me about this last episode. It was a friend of mine that was talking to him online.
All right. I don't care. I don't like Daniel that much, even though he seems like a decent guy. he's a pain in the ass and not getting anywhere. She got a little chaos. She likes to stir it up a little. She wants Daniel to know. Daniel has difficulty answering direct questions.
Boy, oh boy.
It's like, well, you want to know why you two aren't friends anymore? Well, we didn't see eye to eye about things, me and him.
Yeah.
Oh, you and him.
Oh, thanks for clarifying.
That's different. I thought you were talking about Drew and Imelda Marcos. All right. This isn't a problem. This is just some teenage crap.
Yeah.
Her instincts to tell you are the part that I worry about, although now that doesn't seem to be the story. Maybe someone else is telling.
He reminds me of the Matthew McConaughey character in Dazed and Confused.
Everyone reminds me.
No, he really does. He's still hanging out at the high school.
Here's the deal, everybody.
Right?
I've never met a man or a woman I couldn't avoid, including people I work with. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to avoid somebody, if you don't like the way the relationship is going or it turned the corner or they're coming on to you or they're out of line, you don't have to confront them. You don't have to get into it with them. It's real easy. You can go. You can work with them and go 6 months without seeing them.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to want to do it.
Yeah.
You got to be committed to it.
You have to be genuinely motivated. You can't
get in there, start dancing with them, and then come call us crying about, this person won't leave me, and then you go start dancing
again
with them.
You're getting some satisfaction from the dance.
That's right.
Or else you wouldn't do it.
Which is fine. Just admit it.
Yeah.
Or don't complain to your boyfriend.
There you go.
All right, we'll be back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Corey Feldman's coming in here tomorrow night from Surreal Life, Surreal House, Surreal something. I've been watching the show.
Surreal Life.
Surreal Life. Yeah. They're all living in the house. Got Emmanuel Lewis and MC Hammer. And what's her name? Jerry, who was in here from Survivor.
She's up there?
Yeah, she's a big star. Remember Jerry was in here? She was like...
Playboy.
Yeah, delusional. I was asking. And by the way, you know, when people think you're a bitch or they don't like you and everyone claims, well, that's just a rap on that person. No.
That's the way they edited her, Adam. Come on.
Believe all raps. She came in here. What? And Anderson's in love with her, but...
No, I'm not. It's just she came in here and you guys the next night were like, she was cool. And like, you know, they...
No, she was fine. She was fine with us. But...
We only had a couple of things.
No, Adam didn't like that she wouldn't tell how much she got paid to do Playboy.
I wanted to know how much she got paid, and she said it wasn't for the money.
Right, and that's where he got going.
And I didn't like that, because it's just plain BS. And I don't like this business where everyone has to pretend you're doing it. I don't know, makes you a whore somehow if you take your clothes off and someone pays. Well, I guess it does, yeah. Well, actually, touche. But here's the thing, and the idea that... You know, she wouldn't even go along with me on the part where, hey, if Playboy said, here's $5, drop the pants, you tell them no. And if they said, here's 200 grand, drop the pants, you'd be like, I'm listening. I'm keep going. You got my ear now. You know, and that's how this stuff works.
Yeah.
And to pretend like it doesn't work that way is ridiculous. And, you know, my whole point with her was... I guess you got to kind of finish this deal while you got to strike while the iron is hot. I mean, you just got off Survivor, and you're cutting a deal with Playboy, but a year from now, 2 years from now.
You didn't even say, you weren't even that explicit. You just kind of said, you got to strike while the iron's hot. She's like, yeah, I'll take my time. Yeah.
No, I made it clear to her, as I recall, that this is the kind of thing where you got to settle while you're hot.
Yeah.
Before... two more seasons of Survivor come and go, and you know they want to give you like a bottle cap and a couple of Pez to drop the shorts, and that's for swank, you know. and she was insulted. She was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, you know, you're Jerry's Survivor, you want to get the money, you know, now while everyone's talking about this episode, this series of Survivor. And she's like, no, I was always her take was she was always a celebrity. Before Survivor, she was a celebrity. And that's kind of the part where I started to realize, all right, maybe she rubs people the wrong way just a little bit. But she's a big star. She came out of here, and we haven't seen her since, and now she's on Surreal Life. All right. And anyway, Corey Feldman's going to be in here from that show tomorrow night. And he's all over the show.
And he's got a relationship with Jerry.
He's got a relationship with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's the guy that's like on the phone with his fiance nonstop.
Yeah.
He's like totally whipped.
Yeah.
He's worse than you, Drew.
No, you know what he is? He's one of these, he's a program guy. And program guys just throw all their, they throw every ounce of their being into everything. And if it's crack, it's crack. And then if it's coke, it's coke. And then when they get off that, they get in a relationship and it becomes a relationship. Baby, baby, baby. And they just get, they can't do anything half speed. I mean, that's one of the things about addictive personalities. They can't gamble a couple of bucks and then go back to the room.
Mm.
They can't have a couple of cocktails and realize they've had enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when it comes to a relationship, it's just as powerful as the drugs, the booze, or the gambling, really.
Yeah.
All right. Mm. Drew and I have that with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk to Corey about that tomorrow night. Angelina? You're 17?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, I have a problem with my mom. She wants me to date guys. I'm in high school now, and over the years of me growing up, I've never, in her eyes, dated a guy. And now she's trying to hook me up with her guys, her, friends, sons and stuff like that. And I don't want to...
What do you mean, in her eyes, you've never dated a guy?
Well, I haven't. Actually ever dated a guy.
Oh, all right, we'll just say that then.
Okay. Well, I haven't ever dated a guy then.
In her eyes, I've never amounted to
From her point of view.
Yeah, you never dated a guy.
No, I've had girlfriends ever since I can remember.
Are you lesbian?
Yes.
Oh. Does she know about this?
I think she suspects it.
I see.
I don't think she wants to
admit it.
Yeah.
Yeah, where's your dad?
He's been out of my life.
Why?
Was never there as a kid.
Why?
When I was a baby, he left.
That was it, huh?
Yeah.
Were there stepdads?
My first stepdad was abusive.
Mm-hmm.
The second one that my mom was with, he molested me.
All right.
Beat me up and stuff like that.
Does your mom have any knowledge of all this?
Yeah. But she just wants to play it like it never happened.
Well, you owe mom nothing, then, I'm afraid.
You owe her zero. Yeah. You owe her a nice kick in the twat.
Oh, my God.
Well, listen. Look, your mom, unfortunately, was probably abused or molested or
herself,
what have you.
Of course.
Herself. And that's the sad part of this equation. But it does not excuse them bringing home violent, sexually aggressive guys to perpetrate this on their defenseless daughters.
Yep.
And for that, your mom deserves to be punished. And as a society, we want to punish the guys, and I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I want to punish the guys, too. But you know what? I want to punish the mom that let him into the chicken coop.
No kidding. That's how
you want to get a couple generations in, too, let's be fair.
Yeah. I'd like to punish your
Grandpa,
mom's dad and his mom and whoever sailed over or swam across the Rio Grande or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever you got here.
Yeah, well, like, my girlfriend, the one I'm with now, we've been together for, like almost a year now.
Good. Here's the good news. Now, listen.
Okay.
Don't get pregnant.
I can't.
I know. That's the beauty of this.
Yeah.
I mean, but don't slip up and do some kind of three-way swinging thing and get pregnant, because you have a very high probability of having a kid, even though you're a lesbian. Did you realize that Angelina over here has a higher probability of cranking out a couple of kids than a heterosexual Jewish girl her same age, Drew? Do you realize that? And she's a lesbian?
Impressive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Quick calculating, but I did it. All right. So, look, I'm all for this, baby. And this is where the cycle ends, because you don't have any kids, and then you don't bring some molesting stepdad into the picture.
Oh, my God, I know.
And look, you don't have to punish your mom, but you owe her nothing.
Right.
You owe her nothing. You're a lesbian. If you want to tell her, tell her.
I don't think it's any of her business.
Yeah, it isn't.
Fine.
Good.
That's fine.
You're too healthy. You do well in get your grades up and go off to
a straight A student.
Straight A. At what?
And I work. I have a job. I'm independent.
Wow. Good.
Stuff like that.
You go off to some college up north with all your lesbian brethren, sisterin, and I think they're brethren,
yeah.
And have a good life.
Okay.
And then you laugh at your mom and her simple ways.
Well, my girlfriend and I do that already.
Good.
Those breeders.
Breeders. Look at her pointy-heeled shoes, putting her makeup on, hair past her ears. Crazy, those breeders. Good. I hope. I wish everyone who came from one of these families was a lesbian. And I wish all the guys were gay.
Hmm.
Think what the world would do. Pow. Clean up immediately. It would clean itself up. Do you understand, Drew?
Yeah.
Be no more of this. Screwball moms bringing the abusive. I always say this. I know it sounds retarded, but sexually abusing or physically abusing your kid is horrific. But stepdad doing it, it's like it's worse. Like, that ain't even your kid you're effing. I know it doesn't sound like it makes sense, but that's balls, isn't it? You just roll into the house. There's some 8-year-old. You met him 6 months ago, and you're beating on him.
It's incredible. It's really, to me, it's mind-boggling.
Wouldn't it be nice just to take one of those German Luger pistols and just put it on the guy's chin? It'd be fine, right? What's he doing? Where's he going? What's he got to offer? Just put a bullet in these guys' heads. Daniel?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up?
I've been listening to your show since I've been 15, Adam, and I must agree with you that it's gone downhill. I don't know. I just say that because, you know, if this was your gig and you'd take it out and everything, and you were just so much more passionate about it than...
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Shut up!
What is he talking
about?
You got
the Man Show now and Crank Acres and everything. You got your wife and, I don't know, it just seems like, I don't know. You talk about how the show's got downgraded. I don't know.
Never heard him say that.
Okay.
Have you ever said that?
Probably. I don't know.
Did you get on the caller?
Is that not my normal rant?
I don't know.
Daniel, you don't think I'm into the show anymore?
I just hear you you always say this is what this show has slipped to and whatnot, so I don't know.
It's just talking about the callers. What is that? The level we go to with the callers. See?
You know what's funny on this show I've noticed? But Daniel, make sure and completely misinterpret this for later. I've noticed that about 80% of the stuff that people call in and go, why do you always say, or I heard you talking about?
Inaccurate.
Yeah, almost.
Or way wrong, yeah.
Almost completely inaccurate.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll cop to whatever it is you have to say to me.
If you say it.
Yeah, but we always, whenever people call the show and go, you know, when you guys were talking to that girl the other night, or you know how you always say, or I agree with you, you and I always look at each other and go, we're processing, like, nah, I'm not quite sure what they're talking about.
Yeah.
A lot of that on this show.
A lot.
He's an idiot.
Dan, it sounds like you smoke a lot of weed.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. That's affecting your perceptions a little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to quit here. I just started school again. I'm trying to...
Yeah, there's no trying to quit pot. It's something you got to make a real distinct effort and get some treatment, go to MA, this kind of thing. It's not something you can cut down on and stop. It's not even like cigarettes. It's something that you will use unless you are treated for.
Okay.
Or you'll use something else.
I don't want to go into treatment. I think I can stop smoking pot for 6 months. That's my current goal.
All right,
you can probably do it for 6 months. But you won't stay stopped.
Oh, that's a good goal. That's a nice goal. See if you can do that.
Well, my ex-girlfriend broke up with me about 6 months ago. Because I got kicked out of school and...
Why'd you get kicked out of school?
Well, I did a fair amount of ecstasy my freshman year, and, like, my whole sophomore year consisted of panic attacks, and I wouldn't stop smoking the pot. And, it was just, I couldn't go to class. It was just so much tension and anxiety. And
okay, now, why do you want to get her back?
Yeah, I do want her back.
You don't want to talk about his psychiatric problems here?
Sort of. Hold on a second. Drew, I'll tell you one of the things that breaks my heart about this show. Besides the parking and the equipment here. But every time, it seems like every time someone calls the show and goes, I've been listening to the show since I was 15.
They're messed up.
This guy's been listening to the show for 6-7 years.
Yeah.
He's a mess.
A mess, yeah.
A complete and utter mess. And he's been listening to the show evidently consistently. Drew, for the last 6-7 years, Drew's been doing nothing but talking about how evil ecstasy is.
And how it does exactly what happened to Daniel.
For the last 5-7 years.
Yeah.
And it's had zero effect on young Daniel.
I work on the show. I still do it all the time.
Yeah. Anderson's, he's high right now. You understand?
Scary.
And he works here. Daniel?
Well, maybe Anderson can answer what that is.
Daniel?
Yeah. Okay.
And no one listens to you, Drew. That's what it is. Daniel, forget about your girlfriend. You got bigger fish to fry, namely your brain.
You already fried it.
Yeah. You got to get into some recovery.
Yeah, you're recovering. You're going to need to be on some medication, too, because all that panic and those mood problems, they're going to be with you probably forever.
Oy. Yeah.
Well, don't think that way, but think in terms of not causing any more damage, no more X, no more weed, and start getting into recovery. Please, everybody. You need that brain of yours. You will wear it out. You will screw it up. All right, everyone. Don't listen to Dr. Drew. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. That's Drew doing a little right into the mic. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Adam Drew. It's Loveline. And,
just, Adam, you lost your edge. You just don't seem as passionate anymore. Yeah, I'm worried about you.
I was just yelling about putting bullets in the heads of pedophiles, was I not?
You were.
Sounds like the old Adam.
Yep.
Melissa?
Yes?
You're 26?
Yep.
What's up?
I was just calling.
I have a question. Is there more of a risk of contracting HIV from oral sex or regular unprotected sex?
Regular sex.
Regular sex?
Particularly if you're the receptive partner.
Mm-hmm.
Which you would be.
You would be, yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Because, I don't know, it just seems weird that all my friends would be going out and being okay with giving people oral sex, but being against.
What
you're supposed to wear a condom with oral sex, too.
What mall do these gals hang out at? Like to open a kiosk there. Sell sunglasses or keychains or cell phones over there and see if I can drum up a little business. Yeah. They just give the oral. Yeah, well, it's not quite as dangerous. They can get other things.
They can.
Yeah, what can you get? Get hepatitis?
I suppose, but more it's you know, herpes and gonorrhea and syphilis and chlamydia, et cetera. It's all of them.
Yeah. Not so much, I don't know. AIDS has cooled off a little.
Yeah.
Well, the oral is one of the lesser likely ways to transmit it, but it's possible. It's been proven.
Like I said, you always know you can, living in America, you can breathe a sigh of relief when you start seeing disease statistics, especially AIDS. And they shift to the worldwide because that means we're off the hook.
Mm.
They're talking about Somalia now. You understand?
Yeah.
Like when they go, worldwide, one person gets AIDS every 5 years. You go, oh, yeah, 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 that's them. That's not us anymore. We're good. Us in Canada, we're clean. That means we can move on to our next disease.
Mm-hmm.
See, we're already looking forward to our next disease here. Nice. Well, you guys are struggling with last decade's disease. That's the way we look at it here. You start hearing worldwide, that means it's time. You're clean. Time to move on. Just don't hear AIDS. Just don't hear it anymore. You hear a little bit, but not like you used to.
Remember that girl we had called in here that was the biologist, the lab technician?
Mm-hmm.
She'd gotten it from heterosexual intercourse?
Yeah.
Remember that?
I do remember that. Yeah. That wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
Oh, it happens. Uh-huh. You guys got to be careful out there. But the number one killer, secondhand smoke.
Yeah.
Amy?
Yes?
You're 23? What's up?
Well, I have an almost 2-year-old daughter,
mm-hmm.
and I was telling her, I was talking to earlier that, you know, whenever you have babies, you think, oh, I'm going to bond with them immediately and just have this perfect little person and just feel attached to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't my case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't feel this, you know, attachment for her.
Mm-hmm. How's the child doing?
She's doing good. She's, you know, I stay home with her and I'm an ex-preschool teacher, so that's why I think it's kind of weird that I would get attached to all these other little kids and I can't, like, bond with my daughter.
Hmm.
Is this something happened to you when you were this age, you think?
I live with my grandparents because my mom gave us away to them.
Well,
there you go.
There it is.
And, you know, I just don't see why she, you know, I don't want it to be like a vicious circle because she went through the same thing, you know. My grandma wasn't there for her, but she's there for me, and my grandma is there for my daughter, and I'm not there for her, you know?
Well, you've created the cycle. There you go.
So I'm trying, you know, I try to bond with her. And
you're going to need to get some treatment, Amy, if you really want to make a difference, because these are very, very deep issues for you. Abandonment issues from when you were sort of pre-verbal. To really heal that, it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of work. And if you can restore a stable attachment with your daughter, if you get healed. But in the meantime, it's going to be ambivalent and problematic.
But listen here, Amy, all's not lost. But three things. No more kids.
That's what I was thinking, no more, because I don't want to.
Yeah, I got it. That's number one. Number two, you know, they don't understand all the nuances, meaning the kids. Just try to bond. Act like you're bonding. Be there.
See,
you may not want to be there. Go ahead and do it.
Yeah, everybody tells me, God, you know, you have such a cute little girl.
Yeah, well,
she's so intelligent, and I'm like, yeah, I wish I would see that, you know, wish, and I don't put her down, I don't beat her, or, you know, anything like
that's
that.
That's big of you. We'll send you out a windbreaker, but go ahead, here's the speech, and get some therapy, but here's what I want to give to everybody.
Act as if you were saying.
This is my point, Drew. People, and, you know, I've struggled with this in my life, and Drew hasn't, but many of you. Here's the situation. Yes, your first impulse, because of your bad upbringing, is not to do certain things. Not to show up at work, not to pay a parking ticket,
Or to do certain things, to punch somebody or to be aggressive.
Right. There's certain impulses you have because of less than adequate rearing.
Mm-hmm.
But you're aware of that. And this doesn't have to be a life sentence. I mean, you can be aware. You can be a person who has an instinct to show up late to every job you have. So feel free to set your alarm a half hour early and overcompensate. And you know what? You start showing, I don't care how, if you think yourself as a horrible employee and a person that shows up late, no one will know and no one will care if you're there on time every day.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what you see when you look in the mirror, if you're there, you're there. And that's how society will treat you. And your daughter will respond to this as well. Mm-hmm. It'll never be quite as good as a mom who's genuinely bonding with her child. But you know what? Tell her she's smart. Tell her she's pretty. Spend time with her. Teach her, read with her, do all that stuff. And there won't be any damage. Look at it this way. What if your mom had done that? You wouldn't be calling the show. Okay. We'll be back. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. You gotta bang your heads, everybody. Woo! True. Banging his head over there. Looking at his pager and banging his head simultaneously. What are you doing with your pager there, Drew?
Setting some numbers up.
Got to stay busy even during the breaks. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. There's Dr. Drew. I'm Adam Carolla. D.L. Hughley will be in here on Thursday. D.L.'s a funny guy who I don't think we have seen since
TV.
Our TV show.
Yeah.
So it'll be good to see him here. And we'll speak to Sam, who's 18. Sam?
Hey.
Hey.
What's going on?
Nothing.
I'd like to say I love you guys both. Love the show.
Thanks.
You know, long time listener, all that.
Great.
Whatever.
Yeah. My question is, my girlfriend has, like, some fetishes that, like, you know, she gets into during sex, which include, like, spanking and being tied up and... You know, being gagged and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
how do you do the gag?
Like, either just putting my hand over her mouth real tight, something like that.
Oh, all right. I see.
Okay.
Are these a little bit of a rape simulation?
Well, you know, as an avid listener of this show, I always thought, like, you know, something must have happened to her, this and that. She always denied it. But she recently, just like this last couple of weeks, came out and told me that something had happened.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I haven't really asked her in depth about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's happened is, like, after we have sex and after, like, I just sort of feel guilty about encouraging those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling a payoff coming.
Where they come from.
You?
And I wanted to know, like, Drew, if that could, like, hinder her in any way.
See what I'm saying? No question.
Hinder her in any way. Drew smells bogus here. My spidey sense wasn't tingling, but Drew's a little more adept at that than I am, but although not lately.
Well, I'm not trying to.
I believe you, Sam. And when you tie her up, what do you tie her up with?
Well, we've only done that a couple times, and that's like, I had a chain once that I did it with, like a wallet chain.
A wallet chain.
We were getting creative.
All right.
And
specific.
Duct tape. Usually just like
duct tape. Where you put the duct tape?
On her wrist, and I tied it to the bed with it.
Mm-hmm. What color?
Just normal gray.
All right. And
good stuff.
Yeah, it's good, but you got it. It's it leaves, you know, when you pull it off, it leaves stuff on the bedpost. You use some lacquer thinner to get that off.
Before she came over, I fashioned sort of a handcuff kind of thing with it.
Mm.
So it wasn't actually sticking to her.
Smooth.
Yeah.
All right. And did you enjoy this, too?
You know, pleasing her pleases me. So.
Right. But now you feel like you're...
I feel guilty afterwards, sort of encouraging.
Yeah.
You know, these kind of things, knowing where they might come from. And I wanted to know...
Yeah, but like, she needs that at this point in order to function sexually.
Well, she doesn't need it. No, I mean, she can orgasm fine without those kind of things.
All right.
And it's not anything, you know, really serious, I guess, you know.
Well, does she want it every time?
No.
No.
All right. It's usually I don't buy that.
Yeah, I buy it.
I don't buy it. But be that as it may, it is a way to distance herself in an intimate encounter. If intimacy is too close for her, it's overwhelming, and these are sort of distractions that allow her to function sexually. Think of it that way. And if she doesn't need it all the time, it's not really a true fetish. It's sort of a fetishistic kind of thing. And why would he feel guilty doing this occasionally?
Okay, Sam.
Yeah.
Why don't you be straight with me for a second?
Yeah.
Because I'm just going to hang up with you on you in a second anyway. So, you know, if it's a bogus call, I want you to please tell me. And if it's not, I want you to please tell me.
No, this isn't a bogus call.
All right. See, Drew? I didn't get that from him.
All right.
There's no payday. No payoff.
All right. So but I thought there was one coming that we sort of diverged from.
Well, see. Sam, if you want to yell something about a mason jar and an asshole, now's the time.
No,
you see? Drew, something happened to your antenna over the holidays, buddy.
All right, maybe.
You got hit with like a turkey drumstick or something and bent?
Maybe. All right, but he doesn't though.
No, maybe.
Yeah, I still...
I don't know. This is not a bogus call.
All right, okay.
What do I got to do, bring him over here?
Yeah. Don't keep at it. It's whatever.
Oh, of course.
It's
not bogus.
All right. So the point is, I'll say it again. No problem. Occasional fetish that she wants to indulge in. She doesn't need it to function sexually. It's diverting her from an intense feeling, but the rest of the time she's able to function and be intimate. So what?
Okay. Well, Drew's angry now that it's not bogus. You've defied
him. I still think it is, but it's all right.
No, you don't. Sam.
Guiltiness. Are they normal?
Hold on a second.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Drew still swears this is bogus.
Really?
Yeah.
Now I think it's bogus. Well, here's the thing, too, Sam. And here's the only logical way I can see to settle this, which is doing a bogus call that never really has a payoff not really worth it. You know what I mean? So I'm giving you the opportunity to say it's a bogus call right now.
I appreciate that offer, Adam, but I really just I'm just curious about
that. Oh, okay. All right.
So just relax. Relax.
Well, true, everybody. I don't know if I can ever believe another word he says.
Oh, please.
Okay, but what about this, Drew?
Huh.
What if you're with somebody, and this person was victimized at some point in their childhood, and now this is coming to the bedroom in the form of this and that? Let me finish my question. And they want this.
Yeah.
And it's not out of control.
Right.
But you do feel like, hey, the reason this chick wants this is because her dad did something weird to her when she was five, you know? And now I'm kind of going along with it. And I understand you shouldn't be thrown in jail for it. It's not destroying her life. But shouldn't you be steering her towards therapy?
Oh,
and maybe backing away from this stuff a little bit?
Absolutely. It can start to erode the intimacy. And it can start to take over. And then it can be necessary for her sexual functioning. And if now she's admitting there was a trauma, then obviously there's need for treatment. And then try to stay away from this.
All right.
Don't feel guilty when you indulge her.
Tony. Tony with an I.
Sleeping.
Tony.
Hello?
You're 14?
Yes.
What's up there, Tony?
I want to know what counts for being molested.
What's Tony for a girl? What's that short for?
Tonya.
Tonya?
Tona. No, not Tona. Tonya.
Antonia?
Tonya is a girl's name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Antonia?
Yeah.
Or Tonya?
Antonia.
Okay. You having trouble with your name?
No.
Okay. Let's keep going. It's Please. My fault for talking.
Please. Oh, my God.
Okay. She said Tonya four times.
I know.
And Drew had to then tell her name. So your name is Antonia?
Yeah, but my friends call me Tony.
Right. But Tony's not short for Tonia. It's short for Antonia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a real name.
I know. Turn down whatever's in the background, please. Okay. Now, Drew, what constitutes molestation?
Really, I sort of put it under a large... I think of it in terms of what's traumatic, sexual traumas.
Mm-hmm.
And sexual material can be traumatic.
Okay.
Being touched inappropriate can be traumatic.
Well, let's find out what Tony had happened to her. What happened, Tony?
It actually started when I was about maybe six. And my cousin, who's actually about the exact same age as me, mm-hmm. he, like, started touching me, and he started kissing on me, and he made me, like, suck his penis, and he made me kiss him, and he started touching me.
That's about as bad as it gets.
Well, it's absolutely not as bad as it gets. No, because not nearly as bad as adult dad or uncle.
It's approaching.
No. Can't nearly, not nearly what an adult would be.
All right.
Thank you.
It, like, and it wasn't like I saw him a lot. It was, like, only, like, over the summer anytime I saw him. He lives in, like, L.A.
All right, what's the question?
How long did this go on?
Until I was about 12.
Hmm. All right.
About 2 years ago.
And you would come out in Los Angeles and stay with him for a while?
Yeah, my parents would drop me off.
For the summer, for a week, or?
For, like, a couple of days. I'll sleep over there at their house.
Now, were you... After this had gone on a few times, and let's say you were 10 years old, were you terrified to go over there, or did you not mind it?
I didn't mind going over there.
Did you like it?
Not really.
Okay. Did you want to avoid it?
Kind of, yeah. As I got older, I kept trying to avoid it.
Okay.
So when I was younger, I was like, okay, it's my cousin. I trust him. I don't care.
All right. Well, you'd already been sort of victimized so thoroughly that that's sort of how who you were at that point. So,
all right,
you don't think differently. It's just that I'm the victim.
So this stopped a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he like started like squeezing my chest and stuff like that, and so I made him stop because it started hurting and it felt weird. I finally realized that it was wrong.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. You're healthy enough to stop him.
What's the question?
I just wanted to count, was that it count as a molestation or no?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Not as bad as grandpa or dad, but not a great thing.
Okay.
I mean, he was the same age as you, right?
Yeah.
It's a little better than older, but yeah. Well, you could consider that. But on the other hand, I don't know if you want to, a little therapy wouldn't hurt and all that kind of stuff, but I wouldn't walk around like there was something wrong with me.
She's a victim.
Yeah.
She is. I mean, she's a high risk for rape. There's a lot of stuff going on here.
Sort of, but then she stopped him.
Yeah.
And
yet she marched right in there every time. And
yeah, but I think she may have enjoyed the attention at some point. I mean, at least that's kind of the way she's been putting it out to us.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, she realized it was wrong and was able to stop.
Okay.
So, Tony?
Just be careful, Tony. Be careful. You're going to tend to sort of freeze in situations where there's a lot of stress. You're not going to be able to keep your sort of bearing on how you're feeling if there's interpersonal conflicts or you're threatened. Just be careful. Be careful. And you're going to tend to seek guys that sort of make you feel like a victim because that's who you're used to being when you're in a relationship with guys.
Yeah.
I don't date or anything like that.
All right.
Maybe 14. You're young. That's all right.
Okay, and can I ask you one more question?
Yeah.
I heard about the birth control patches.
Yep.
Do they actually work as good as the actual pill?
Yep.
Yeah, but you have to put them over the opening of the vagina. That's the only way they're absolutely as effective. Is that true, Drew?
You have to hold them between your knees.
Yeah. They're not adhesive. You just have to actually clamp them between your knees.
Right.
If there's enough space between your knees for this patch, which is just a quarter millimeter to slide out, then you can get pregnant. That'd be funny. That'd have a birth control patch that actually goes over the vagina. All right. X is a penis trampoline. All right, let's talk to Cynthia, who's 20 years old. Cynthia?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hi.
Hi.
I've been with my boyfriend for going on 9 months now.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, every time we had sex, I would always be able to orgasm. And lately, I would say about the last 4 months, I would be lucky if I get there.
Have you been faking them?
Lately, yeah.
Yeah.
What's good girl?
Good girl.
What's different? Is he just sort of paying less attention or doing it less?
No, everything's the same. I don't know why.
Are you not as into this guy?
I'm sorry?
Are you not as into this guy?
I am.
Ooh. Yeah, whenever you get...
I didn't buy that.
Yeah, whenever you get that... Drew, you ask me.
Adam, are you into this guy?
Don't say Adam, jack off.
Are you into this guy?
Are you mad at him? Okay, go ahead, sir. And hold on. Hold on.
And
action.
Cynthia, are you into this guy?
1-1000. I am. And by the way, that is the answer we get whenever we go down this road.
But the I am is everything.
Yeah, yeah,
I am.
Yes, yes. Cynthia, maybe you're not as into the guy as you were.
Okay, so does that affect?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. Especially if it's not the kind of thing where, well, he's been drinking and skipping foreplay. If he's kind of on his same routine sexually with you, yet the orgasms have dried up.
That usually, is your body telling you something.
Yeah.
Okay, because when we talk about it, he thinks he states, your pussy's busted.
Oh, this sounds like quite a gem. What? How could your feelings wane for a guy like that? He's so sensitive. Poetic, Adam. The guy's poetic.
Listen, honey, your coos is on the fritz, okay?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What is not to love about that guy?
Yeah.
Come on.
He's a dynamite individual. What's he do, work around metal?
No.
Truck.
No. Wait.
He works around weights?
A gym.
He works at a gym.
Right.
What's he do? Is he a trainer or something?
He's a manager.
Manager at a gym.
Right.
Those are horrible people, those gym managers. Horrible guys walking around those tiger stripe sweatpants with the tank top on and telling people, trying to sell them a bunch of products they don't need. Then talking about, we're running a special that's just going on to the end of this week. You sign up now. I like when they start waving stuff. Sign up now. We go ahead and we wave. No, here's what happened. Here's how we wave. You wave bye to your money. Because you end up doing that thing where they do that thing where they take the money out of your credit card or your
forever.
Checking account forever, and you move 6 months after you sign up, but you did a five-year deal, and they just take like $37.95 out of your account for the next 10 years, and you're living in Kentucky now.
Yeah, tell you what, yeah, unless you cancel your credit card.
You sign up right now. We waive the initial fee, which is then they give you the inflated one. That's $269. We waive that, and we throw in a 28-ounce or creatine, which I personally use myself. I always like when they talk about what they do, too. Yeah, I use a lot of guys are Nautilus guys. I use the Hydroflex over here. That's how I got these. Yeah. Here we have tan salons. We got a lap pool. We got aerobics and cardio. Spinning classes on Sundays. This guy, now here's our wall of instructors. That's Chet Greenwood. Chet over there is second runner-up, Mr. Fitness Competition, 1992 and 94. Busted his hip in 93, so we couldn't compete. Lisa Kungston here, PKA kickboxing champion. She teaches step, spinning, and kickboxing women's self-defense class. That's Wednesday night. It was a Wednesday night and a Sunday night class. I recommend a Wednesday night class. Full instruction, boxing gloves. You have to bring those yourselves and wraps. We have bags and professional instructions. Sure, of course, shower facilities, state-of-the-art. Sauna. It's not up and running right now, the sauna or the steam room, but we're just putting the final touches on some of that grout, and that should be up and running in just a matter of seconds now. That never gets going. And the shower pressure is never right either. We do ask you to throw the towels into the hopper. Mark dirty towels, please. We issue a towel when you come in. I'll tell you about the guest policy if you're interested. Yeah. Is that what he does?
And also, if you got to send a friend to sign up.
You get a friend to sign up. Now, I can get you an introductory tour. I can get Chip Ballmaster in there. Chip, come here. Chip's one of our best instructors. He's been with us almost 11 weeks now. What are your goals? Get laid? Yeah.
And, you know.
I like when they size you up, too. Forget about what you think your goals are. My goals for you is that you lose about 30 pounds, some of that ass. Tone up the upper arms. It can all be done. It's going to take hard work. And your credit card. All right. Is that him?
More or less. Yeah. They're not so that high pressure. They're not. Yeah. They're not really on a big commission, so.
We specialize, if your vagina's busted, we have rehab equipment over here. Got the vagina press. You can do some vagina ups. Do military vagina. Many different Nautilus, Atlas, and...
Labia Busters.
Labia Busters. See that picture over there? That's Cynthia Takahashi. She teaches vagina class. That's Sundays. She also does step, spinning, and with Taekwondo. All right.
So.
Yeah.
Cynthia, you just nodded into this guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, why aren't you into him? Why should you be into him? He works at a gym. Gym guys are all scared. Gym guys are like used car salesmen with a tan and a build. It's the same weird mentality, guys. Yeah?
You all right, Cynthia?
Yeah, I was just listening. You're right.
Well, don't let us...
Well, then how come at times I can?
Well...
I mean, shouldn't it just be a...
You get porked hard enough, eventually something's going to pop loose. All right. Tell us if we're right. I mean,
if we're wrong.
Tell us if we're wrong.
Yeah.
You're right.
You're losing a little with this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, baby. That might be time to start thinking about breaking up.
Yeah.
Of course, if he's got your credit card, you have to keep paying him for another 3.5 years. I mean, for the term of the contract. I like when they cut stuff for you, too. Normally, there's a $169 initiation fee each one time. Guy looks over his shoulder. I'll tell you what I can do. Right now, this manager's not here right now. You mean why the guy's the manager? I can knock 45% off that to get that for you for $89.50. But it's pretty much the kind of thing we have to sign up today because it's not going to hold that long. So they're talking about goals, steps. Workout mats, we ask you to wipe them down, wipe the equipment down, and please keep your shirt on when you're working the Nautilus equipment. Yeah. Yeah, I used to work at a gym. It's a dynamite guy.
That's right, that's right. Oh.
Imagine me working in a gym.
Oh.
You know what the big complaints were for me in the gym?
Huh.
I used to teach a boxing class, but I didn't listen to the hip-hop music. Because, look, seriously, do a bunch of 40-year-old white people have to listen to P. Daddy? Do you know what I mean? Do we have Ja Rule and all that? Really?
P. Diddy.
Yeah, P. Diddy.
Whatever.
That's right.
Word
up. Really? Is that what a bunch of white people want to listen to? I used to play some like, play like the Pretenders and Elvis Costello and Graham Parker and stuff.
Izzle for chisel, dizzle.
Yeah. That was always a big complaint. Where's your music? They don't want to listen to Warren Zevon. Yes, they do. All right, we'll take a little break, and we'll be right back. Yeah, we got a state-of-the-art sprung wood floor. That's for aerobics and step. Spinning class going on upstairs as we speak. We can check that out. Of course, we don't interrupt anything. Yoga's downstairs. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what goes on at these gyms, everybody. You ever seen these spinning classes, Drew?
Oh, yeah.
This has got to be one of those California phenomenons.
I've treated a bunch of women who get interstitial cystitis, coincidentally. Interstitial cystitis is sort of a garbage bag diagnosis.
Right.
And these women, from the irritation from the bicycle seat, they do these spinning classes every damn day.
They pedal their asses
and they wonder why it hurts when they pee, or they have to feel the urge to pee all the time because they're breaking their coos, as you would say.
Shouldn't we go ahead and hook those stationary bikes up to generators or something?
Yeah.
There's a class of 45. And 45, I'll do the math breakdown. 22 and a half women, 22 and a half gay. And they're just pedaling their asses off with that wheel spinning.
Yep.
And they're pedaling their ass off for 55 minutes straight.
All being lost. All that energy.
I mean, you could really power the gym for that 50 minutes there, yep. No problem. Yeah. I know I'm not the first guy to think of this, but at some point, just, I don't know. Huh?
Yeah,
eh?
I'm with you.
Eh? Mark?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, I was just listening to what Drew was saying earlier about the guy's girlfriend that had kinky sex. or like kinky sex.
Mm-hmm. No, she had a fetish.
Oh, let him go. Let's see. Okay. Go ahead.
What's that?
Keep going.
Yeah, I was really interested in hearing a little bit more about. He was saying that he felt that kinky sex was a way to get out of intimacy, and just I was sort of curious because I've had a lot of experiences with girlfriends who are into kinky sex. I'm sort of into kinky sex. I've experimented a little bit, and I just wanted to hear more about that because I've always heard and felt like it's sort of accepted as kind of a healthy thing, you know, to sort of experiment and stuff like that. And I never really heard the downsides, and I didn't realize that it was such a bad thing.
Well, it's not such a bad thing, and Drew didn't say it was such a bad thing. Drew was sort of arguing for it, which is if that's what floats her boat, so be it. But he was also saying that if she was molested or something, and that's the reason she's into it, that's something she should look into. I was the one who was more the naysayer. But Drew, what do you think about that?
And what I was saying, what I was suggesting is that when people are reliant on a fetish, which is really what a true fetish is, that they have to have this focus on some other aspect of the act other than the physical and emotional intimacy in order to help them tolerate it and to function sexually. So, and usually it's some version of some kind of an S&M or some sort of acting out of, you know, destruction and resurrection. I mean, then parent and child. I mean, these are where the traumas happened, and those traumas need to be sort of explicitly reenacted in order to be able to tolerate the closeness of a sexual act. If they have to have that, that's a way of moving out of the intimacy. If it's something that they sort of do once in a while, it doesn't take over the sexual act, then whatever.
All
it's
right,
a sign that maybe they need to work on something. But
I do agree with you, and I don't want to sound like Mr. Uptight. And I believe me, I've tanned a few hides in my day. I like a little rough trade.
Man, you are uptight, man. I mean to talk to you about that.
I don't mind a little tap on the ass.
On yours?
No.
Let's be fair.
I do the
tap your ass.
It'd be like hitting the dog from Please Don't Eat the Daisies. It's like hitting Shaggy DA.
One of those dogs. Sheep dog.
Sheep dog. Yeah, you wouldn't even know it. I don't know. Maybe girls have hit me on the ass. Hard to tell. Am I sitting down now, Drew? I have no sensation in my ass. I have too much hair on it.
Yeah, right.
But here's the point. Yeah, a little ass slap and a little hair tug is nice and is fun, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Does it sort of take you away from the intimacy? Yeah, it does. Is it nice to throw a curveball into the bedroom every once in a while? Yeah. But if that's all you're doing, I would agree with you when you suggest that these people are sort of avoiding a more intimate situation. Jennifer?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yeah, I had a question. I have two children. I have a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old, and I'm planning on getting married, and I have my fiancé, and...
let's gloss by the math here for just one second. You're 23. You got a 10-year-old.
Whoa. Wow.
A 10-year-old and a what-year-old?
A 4-year-old.
4-year-old. 10 years old. So were you pregnant at 12?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, but good times.
Yeah.
I mean, just think, Jennifer, in 2 years, your child will be pregnant if we're a girl.
Well, it's a dude. No. That ain't banjo. That's cider jug. Banjo's not good enough. Banjo stops at 15. Then cider jug. Here's the white trash instrument thing. It goes, banjo is 15 to infinity. And then if you get pregnant before 15... To 12, it's cider jug, and then before that, it's tub bass, and then before that, it's nothing. It's not existing.
But what is it? There's got to be some version of this for the desert. You know what I mean?
She's calling from Phoenix. Yeah, I know. It's still white trash. Who got you pregnant at 12?
My boyfriend.
Your boyfriend?
Yeah.
And who got you pregnant at? Ripe old age of 18.
Same guy.
How old was he when you were 12?
He was 13.
Did you guys start to raise a family when you were both 13?
What's that?
Did you, like, quit school and get a job at 13?
No. I continued school. Luckily, you know, I had supportive family members, but we both stayed in school. We both finished school.
He just headed on back to school at 12 with the bun in the oven?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. What grade was that in, just so I can scrape her off the ground?
Seventh.
Eighth grade.
Eighth grade.
Eighth grade?
Mm-hmm.
12? Mm-hmm. Now, and you were walking around through school at, you know, 9 months pregnant?
Yeah.
In the eighth grade?
Yes.
Good times, right?
Hold on a second. Again, I don't want to appear to be old-fashioned or uptight, but wouldn't other parents object? Or doesn't that seem a little weird? Like it's going to
go there, Adam. I can't do it. My head won't. It's enough just to imagine this 13-year-old.
Seemed like it's going to have some effect. Like when I was in the eighth grade, I still believed in like the stork. Yeah. I didn't know what was going on. It's not that I would have broken down or anything, but I would have considered that a
distraction.
A distraction, minimally. That's the minimal title I would have given it. Did you go to a public school?
Yeah.
And was there any hubbub about this?
Yeah. I mean, I went to see a counselor and everything throughout my, you know, just to kind of cope with it, you know, being the only student around who's, you know, going to have a baby.
The rest of them are just too uptight.
In the eighth grade.
Yeah, imagine the rest of
them. And your parents, like my parents, I would have been like, no, honey, no.
Yeah.
No, you get down to the basement. Down in the basement. I'll throw you some dried fruit and jerky and some. You can get water from the condensation that drips off the slab wall there on the outside, especially during the cold months. You'll be fine. Call me when the kid's five. Oh, my God. So you went through the eighth grade, had the kid, and just remained in school?
Yeah, I remained in school, and of course I went straight on birth control after that.
Had another one at 19.
Why'd you get pregnant again at 18 then?
Hmm? Well, it was kind of, after I had my first one at 13, I went on Norplant.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I had Norplant taken out, you know, it was kind of a mistake. I didn't go on anything else after that.
Why not?
Huh?
Why?
Because I had gotten a low grade of cervical cancer, and I've been terrified of taking birth control ever since because of the side effects.
What does that have to do with your cervical cancer?
Oh, I read the risk, and it just says if you've previously had it, it increases your risk of getting it again.
Where did you read that?
Huh? Oh, just in the, like, maybe I just misunderstood it.
Yeah, I suspect.
All right.
So.
Well, anyway.
But anyway.
So, so you have another kid. So now you got a 10-year-old and a 4-year-old. And this boyfriend is gone?
Yeah, he passed away.
What happened to him?
He died in a car accident.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
And you guys were still together when he passed away?
Mm-hmm.
But not married yet?
No.
How come?
Because our parents had just, you know, they didn't think that we should have gotten married. We were still too young to...
Yeah, I mean, they have two kids. I mean, why be burdened by marriage when you've got two kids?
Yeah, but still, well, anyways, we didn't get married, and he passed away, and now...
How long ago did this happen?
Huh?
How long ago did this happen?
Oh, gosh, about 3 years ago.
When the child?
So he was your age?
He was 20.
I mean, he's 20?
Mm-hmm.
How are the kids doing with that?
They're still coping with it, but that's my question, because I'm in a relationship now and planning on getting married, and my question was my children are calling my fiancé dad, and I was wondering if it's wrong for me to continue
that's fine, provided that you actually marry this guy and that he stay around for at least another good 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more tough for the 10-year-old. The 1-year-old is not going to know any other father, right? Well, he's 4 now.
They know who their father is, and mm-hmm. I tried to keep them.
Right.
No, it's fine. But you got to do is make sure this is a guy that's going to be around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You sound relatively well put together, Jennifer, for someone who's been through what you've been through.
She seems just detached from all of it.
Nah.
Oh, yes.
I like Jennifer. I'm all right with her. You're taking care of your kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your stepdad guy's not an alcoholic or anything?
No. We're both students. We're in college right now.
What are you doing for money?
I work. We both work. I work at a hospital.
Oh, okay.
College?
And I go to school part-time right now.
And what's he going to school for?
He's going to school for electrical engineer.
All right. It's fine with me. This sounds, you know, a little detached.
Very, I mean, very nice.
She's been through some.
Oof.
Woo. She's 23.
Wow.
Imagine this guy, like, meeting her. Okay, I met this 22, 23-year-old chick. It's like, yeah, I got to tell you, I got a kid. Oh, jeez, the crying, the spitting up. No, 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 he's in high school.
A teenager. I graduated 4 years ahead of him.
Drew, now wait a minute, Drew. How old are you?
44.
imagine like a 31-year-old kid. That's what's going to be with her.
Like, you would be my kid.
I'd be your kid. No, I'm a little older than that, but
not much.
Not much. I when you met me, I was 30 or whatever, right?
Oh,
you'd have
a mess.
You'd have me like a year into. What's the part where you're 12, you're pregnant? It's like, hey, you're going to the eighth grade, Missy. That's like an after school special there.
Yeah.
And like I said, I wouldn't have raised any hell if I was one of the parents of the other kids or anything. But I don't know, the administration, because let's just do a little homeschooling. And I'll tell you what, hang out for 3 months. When you start the show, we'll do a little homeschooling with you. Hmm. Does it seem like it?
We can take a year off.
Yeah.
Focus on the kid.
Yeah, after kids I know got held back. All right, let's take a little break here, Drew. What do you say?
Yeah.
You know what I just started thinking about, Drew?
Yeah.
Caramel corn. You got a real taste for that caramel corn.
We got any in here?
Yeah, we got a trash can full of fresh popped caramel corn back there that Anderson's just been sitting on.
You never know. There's a big tin of that stuff back there somewhere.
No.
Wishful thinking.
You know, it's nice caramel corn when it's warm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, from the 1800s? I've never had that.
Little nuts in there.
And taters?
Mm-hmm. French fried taters. Mm-hmm. Hype caramel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wes?
Yeah.
You're 32?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I'm having a hard time dealing with the fact that the guy that killed my mom when I was 14 has a strong chance of getting out of prison here pretty soon.
Hmm. Was that a boyfriend or something?
What's that?
Did he have a relation with your mom?
He's my stepfather.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, that's... I don't know why, but I knew...
Yeah, that's what's more common.
Yeah, it's just playing the odds for his boyfriend or stepdad or something like that.
He was my stepfather.
He was your stepfather.
Was he strung out on drugs or anything at the time?
He was... I don't know. I haven't talked to him since then. I know he was sick. He was probably drinking and smoking pot and doing cocaine.
Well, killing people is a speed story. Was it any possibility he's doing speed?
I doubt it. I've never known him to do anything like that.
Yeah, just cocaine and alcohol and pot.
Yeah.
Okay. And he went to prison when you were how old?
14.
I was 14 when
I
found him dead.
Well, said she killed him at 14, but did he evade the law? Did he this or that? How old?
He ran.
Right. How old was he when he went to prison?
Oh, jeez.
How old were you? Sorry.
I was 14.
So he killed her and they got him pretty fast.
They got him later that month, yeah.
All right. And how'd he kill her?
With an ice pick.
Oh boy. God. And hold on a second. I'm not making light of this, but a lot of people get it with an ice pick.
I haven't seen an ice pick.
I haven't seen an ice pick in like 30 years. Like, where are these ice picks come from? I'm certainly not bringing one in my house because I know that's how my wife will kill me one day with it. But where are these ice picks coming from? Who's selling them?
They came complimentary with the Basic Instinct DVD.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, that's good time.
All right. Well, Wes, and so that must have been horrifying for you when you were 14 years old.
It was, considering the fact that I found her.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And you just came home from school kind of thing, or...
Yeah, exactly.
Oh boy.
My God.
And did you assume that it was this guy who did it?
When I realized what had happened, I knew exactly who it was.
Mm-hmm. Had he been abusive before that?
Very.
Oh,
was he abusive to you?
Very.
And
my brother and my mom.
Okay, and now he went to prison for like 18 years.
He got 17 to life.
17 to life.
Yeah.
And now he's getting out.
He's been in since 85.
A couple questions. Has he changed anyway, do you know? I mean, is he in recovery? Is he making amends to people? Does he feel just contrite?
Sober.
I doubt it.
Okay.
But they may think he has, and he may think he has.
All right.
Well, is he up for parole or is he out?
Yes, he is. He's up for parole.
Has he not been up for parole before?
He has been up for parole four other times, and he's been denied all four times.
Right. So what makes you think he's getting out this time?
I feel it.
That doesn't mean it.
Can you go in there and sort of complain about it or get an attorney? Or?
I will be and have been at the parole hearing.
Wow.
But in the people that I have been talking to, like the DA,
mm-hmm.
Say that there's a possibility he might get out this time. I mean, he is at his minimum sentence.
And he
almost got out last time.
Wow.
And you know that by the number of votes or how it worked?
The DA is telling him.
DA told you that?
The DA told me that, and the parole board told me that.
Mm-hmm. And did he have a history of violence before this?
Yeah.
He had not been divorced from his previous wife, and he had beaten one of his girlfriends with a tire iron. I found all this out on parole hearings.
Uh-huh.
Every time I go, I find out more stuff.
And you can't object? You can't put a plea?
I can say what I want to say.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Well, here's the other thing, too. If and when they let this guy go, that's it? I mean, there's no... is he going to have a parole officer assigned to him? Is he going to be checking in?
Sort of stuff?
I'm sure he is.
Yeah, well, Wes, this is...
stipulations on the whole thing, but, I've dealt with this whole thing on my own all this time. Now that I feel and understand that he might have a good chance of getting out.
Yeah.
I know it's weighing really heavy on me. And to be honest with you, I feel like I'm starting to freak out about it.
Because you're fantasizing about hurting him or you're what?
No, not that, because that would be stupid on his level. But it's just weird.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, it's not like you think you're going to hurt him or you think he's going to hurt you. It's tearing the scabs off of these wounds, bringing all this stuff up.
Yeah.
Well, okay, Wes, I got two pieces of advice. Like, one, sorry, but horrible things happen every once in a while, and this is part of the reason why these things are horrible.
All
right, number one. Number two, all you can do is work with the DA or an attorney and put together the best presentation you can put together as to why this guy needs to continue to be in prison.
And then stay far away from this guy.
Right. But as far as when you look back on this 10 years from now or 5 years from now, you want to say that you did what you could do. You want to feel satisfied.
Yeah.
You want to talk to somebody, figure out what might compel the parole board to not let him out.
Right.
Do as much as you can do, and then
let it go.
Then you got to let it go, and some therapy and that kind of stuff. Obviously, for finding your mom this way and everything. Okay, can't these guys get killed in prison? Really, you get to get out. You get to kill people, and you get to get out. All right, he's probably found Jesus Christ.
Mm.
You know he's found Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You want to find out if he's found Jesus Christ? Wes doesn't seem to know much about him, though. Wes?
Yeah.
Has he found Jesus Christ?
I doubt it.
Well, but you're in these parole hearings. What's he saying? Is he talking about Jesus?
He has always opted not to be there because he knows I'm there.
He doesn't show up for him, huh?
No.
I sort of thought the prisoners were obliged to show up for these things.
No, they have the option up to the door of the hearing.
Is this because he's ashamed to see you?
I think he's scared.
And what are the people who are arguing on his behalf say about him?
That he's doing good, and he's earning a certificate, and he's being a good boy, basically.
Oh. Mm-hmm. All
so
right.
That's another factor of why I think he might be getting out this time.
Well, Wes, you prepare as best you can and make your be as compelling as you can in your case, and then that's it. You got to walk away after that. Sorry.
That's what I know. I understand. That's what everyone keeps saying. But you know, I don't know if I don't know if Dr. Drew or Adam, if you guys ever been in that situation. But it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to walk away from something like that.
No. And Adam did say maybe you want to get some help for yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
Somebody to talk
a little therapy.
Yeah. Jeez, Adam.
No, someone killed my family. I would have mixed feelings about that.
You'd still go and just talk about the fact that they didn't go to your Pop Warner football games.
Yeah, you think my dad could have hauled his rotting corpse out to the Pop Warner football game?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break.
Yeah.
That's a nice way. It's a way to go on.
Crazy.
We'll be back. Oh boy, guy found out his dad was gay 2 years ago.
Sierra.
Hello.
Ah. Oh. Talk about trauma. Worse than Wes over here. You found out your dad was gay?
Yeah, about 2 years ago.
All right. You okay with him being gay?
Well, he and I really don't get along.
No.
So.
All right. Let's screw him that.
Hold on a second. Maybe we can call her back tomorrow night. Tara?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see her. Yeah. We'll be back. Well, there you go. That's the show, everybody.
Mercifully.
Yeah. Tough night.
Corey Feldman, Mom.
Yeah, speaking of tough nights. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. Listen, honey, your coos is on the fritz, okay?
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.